let's start with Gem Africa. Gem Africa. Okay, who's going to report on behalf of Gem Africa? And Özge compiled. Wait, where this is? Özge compiled. Before we start with this, let me just say that Özge compiled lists of all the folks who are and have been members of Gem Africa, you know, from different years, so that we of course all realize that Gem Africa and all the regional groups have many, many more people than who we have among us. So we want to make sure that we all kind of get acquainted with people in our groups, at least on paper, but you're also going to be able to do this in a virtual way through the website. This information is in the website, but Özge kindly pulled it all together. So we will be circulating these lists electronically so we don't kill more trees. We'll be circulating these lists electronically, but maybe you can even pull them up on your screen at the moment and tell us actually like how many people there are, for example, in Gem Africa. Because in all of Gem, we have over 200 members, and we have people from, now we haven't done the last count, but we have folks from more than 60 countries, so now we have even more countries represented because some of you are bringing in new countries. So we want to make sure that we all communicate with all the members of our regional groups and make sure that those folks who are not here are also included and are with us in spirit. So Gem Africa, who is going to report on behalf of? I mean, we have an idea what Gem Africa is planning to do, but we want to hear from also, how many? 50. Okay, at Gem Africa, there are 50 people in your group, 50, not 15, 50. So, first of all, let's celebrate that. That's one of the largest regional groups. One of the largest regional groups. It may be the largest one. So, what's that? She'll do the country count, but. So, 50 members you have. And so, we can start by singing Africa Unite. You know the song? Africa Unite. Africa Unite. Africa Unite. Gem Africa Unite. In this case, Gem Africa Unite. So who is reporting? Noon?
Okay. yesterday we actually have a meeting with UNIFEM where was Africa, I believe Latin America, and so on. There's the Caribbean, right? Arab state, and the objective of the meeting was actually to talk about what we have learned here. For one, how did we find it? What we intend to do when we go back home? Not only with UNIFEM, but as related also to GEM. And some of the specific problem of the country. As far as Africa is concerned, especially for me, it's the first time that I'm coming to this meeting. So I did indicated that the GEM, I found it very useful and very relevant to the type of work that we are doing in the country. And one of the things I especially believe that is missing is the step between the policy, the research, and the policy formulation process. And my specific interest will be for GEM and UNIFEM. This is actually what I said, for GEM and UNIFEM and Levy to set up some sort of working relationship, even if it is informal, with the country, and it can be expanded to other countries too, so we can share knowledge and information with other resource person who have much more experience in terms of trade and macroeconomics and gender, and generally macroeconomic and gender. And one of the questions that came up at the meeting was actually, it was by, I think, Joanne and so on, how actually do we go about changing the different the macroeconomic framework? How do we go about doing that? And my specific concern with that is to change the different macroeconomic framework, it will take a lot of time, even if we do advocacy and so on. Because actually the macroeconomic framework that are being used has been, validated. There are some methodical issues that people are discussing. You need to convince not only researchers, but you need to convince all those guys working in the big institution like UN, World Bank, IMF. You need to convince them. And then you need to show that your model is robust. And you need actually to change the technology. For example, if you take the accounting system in our countries, you need actually to change also the technology. But it doesn't mean that we have to stop doing actually the advocacy work and so on. But one of the things that we can do as a group is all the policy formulation processes that are going on at country level, we need to be involved. Then if we are involved, it will be like a bottom-up process. We will be changing, progressively, little by little, we'll be also changing the policy formulation process to include not only the gender issues, but actually to influence the way the macroeconomic framework are being elaborated. This is something that can be done easily and without money, actually, virtually without money. And then research will also be used, and advocacy people will do the job, the work of activism as a top-down approach. And we can actually work to engender and also to integrate some of the macroeconomic issues into all the policy formulation process. If you are not in the policy formulation process, then everything you are doing will not be useful on the short run, maybe on the long run, yes, but on the short run. And so to summarize, we kind of agreed that there will be a meeting again on Wednesday with UNIFEM Africa. And at that meeting, maybe we will take the opportunity to set up some kind of working relationship with all the GEM fellows. This is what I really hope, and she will be there. I hope she will back up what I will say, and then we can work out something for the fellows. Okay. What we have done yesterday.
Sort of organizing a course. Does anybody want to add anything, first of all, to what my brother Nohun said? Does anybody add anything? No.
On our encounter yesterday, or is it on the course generally?
GEM Africa members, do people like to add?
Yeah, okay, sure.
What would you like to add?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we had some few suggestions. One, obviously, is trying to organize a similar course, you know, in the region, in the African region. And if we find that maybe it would be too many participants at a go, who are thinking that it could even be by African regional blocks, you know, West Africa, North Africa, and that kind of stuff. But also something that came out very, very strongly, which Noah has already presented in his presentation, is the idea of building the capacity of statisticians in gender analysis and gender mainstreaming. We hope that this is something that really requires a lot of advocacy and a lot of support from GEM, GMIWG, and UNIFEM, because it basically means trying to introduce some gender modules within the statistic course. So we felt that this is very important. And on even a wider scale, in terms of on a longer horizon, for the longer term, we were thinking that the issue of gender and macroeconomics and gender, whatever, needs to be incorporated in the training curricula in the various courses at the university. Because, you know, you can get one group, get one group of statisticians, but what happens to the agriculture officers if you don't introduce something when they are at the university, when they are in the colleges? And this is a very big problem that we are experiencing. You find that the people who make decisions, they know nothing about gender. Okay, they have had gender, but to them gender means women. So it's not a very big deal. So if it is introduced at at all levels, actually, curricula at all levels, even in primary, you can introduce something very, very simple for those children to understand, then the secondary, then the university courses. And then we also propose that we shall do some research. We are yet to agree on the research areas. But of course, one of the research area is the time use, because within the time thematic group, you know, a research is being proposed. But the countries of focus, you know, at least what we are thinking of, four countries in Africa. So it can be an activity of the time thematic group, but also at the same time a GEM activity. But we shall be also identifying other areas of research. So as you can see, GEM, IWG, and UNIFEM, they really need to come forward and really back our effort. I will not present something on time use. Tony will present. If I find that Tony, there are things that he has not presented, then I'll come in.
Bola, would you like?
Yeah, the issue of training actually came out yesterday very strongly. And I believe most of the people there at UNIFEM who were at the meeting actually agreed that there should be some form of formal training, not only of statisticians, but also economists and other experts who are already working and who are in the field of development, but we also need to train those guys in terms of gender and gender analysis. And so this one actually came up yesterday during the discussion. Now it depends on which type of framework we will set up to actually do that. And
in relation to training, I would like to tell to Noon and to all of you that the European Commission has online trainings. So keep in touch with the gender focal persons of the European Commission in your countries and ask them to send you the information about this. This year, I'm training six persons in Peru, or two from the Ministry of the Economy and other institutions of the state and NGOs by email, by online. Also, I organize presencial training, but I think it's a possibility. And we train in gender mainstreaming in the different models. Thank you.
Paula.
Yes.
Por favor.
Yeah, okay. I guess we wanted the new initiatives to come from the fellows who have just experienced this course. And it's good that they went to New York yesterday and have been able to engage with UNIFEM, which is an organization that is saying we want to partner with you. I mean, UNIFEM is, you know, practically saying that. And so the visit yesterday is a start. And that visit, there were two proposals were made to UNIFEM, which will be considered by UNIFEM to the extent that it fits into UNIFEM's programmatic, you know, for the period in time. So it's almost certain, Taco, that UNIFEM will fund a training program by GEM Africa on the continent, and part component of the time use study. Taco is a GEM member, but she's also UNIFEM. Yeah, so it's a process. So it's like we don't have a problem because Taco is UNIFEM and Taco is GEM Africa. And Taco is very critical. so we are very positive that something is going to happen. And we're also planning to engage with the African Institute for UNIDEP, African Institute for Economic Development Planning, which is a training body, training arm of the ECA. We think one of the easiest things to do now is to package a module for that institute, a gender and macro model. And I think they are already sensitized because some of us have worked with UNIDEP. You know, some GEM members have worked with UNIDEP. So those are ways forward. Like my colleagues have said, wherever GEM, central GEM is needed in terms of backup, you know, assistance, I'm sure we will all be in touch. And once we set up the email, the contact, everybody, all the past members, you know, will have an input in what is going on. Yes, because there have been initiatives and initiatives and initiatives in the past. But, I want to believe that this time around, something will happen from GEM Africa before the next meeting of next year, the next course.
Thank you very much. On the issue of modeling, for example, we have a GEM member. His name is our brother. He's not. He hasn't been able to attend this year, but his name is Hamidou Poufon. He's from the Cameroon, and he's a fantastic modeler. And so, yes, they've met Maureen, but you know they didn't get to meet Hamidou. So I'm trying to sort of introduce the past members they haven't met. Maureen Huere, fantastic modeler. Jane Kringai, fantastic modeler. Bernadette. No, okay. Bernadette starts with W, her last name, from Kenya as well. They were all in Kipra. They're not anymore in Kipra, but all three of them came from Kipra. So we have really, but the thing about Hamidou was that actually Hamidou's specific job was to develop a model for the Cameroon economy to contest the World Bank model. And this kind of thing came from the very top, from the president. So that's what he did. So we've had very interesting presentations by Hamidou on the history of planning the political economy of modeling in Cameroon, but also in Africa at large, and the differences between the kind of model they prepared and the World Bank model, and which one is actually, which one works better. Obviously, we can all guess. The answer is the one that was built by people who actually knew the conditions of Cameroon. So there are all these kinds of exercises, and probably there are many, many more of them that we don't know about. But one of the things that GEM Africa can do, and I was going to talk about Brother Charles Abugre, and he almost came to the conference. He was almost coming to the conference this year. He is in Afghanistan, however, so couldn't make it. And he worked with an NGO called ISODEC in Accra, in Ghana. And that is also what they were doing, is they're building a model that is alternative to the World Bank model. And Charles Ambogre is one of the most eloquent of civil society leaders anywhere in the world. He's a professor of economics. He's a great, 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 well-known civil society leader, known in not only in Africa, but globally. He's one of the greatest civil society leaders. So he's also a GEM member. Unfortunately, he's not here. But there are many, many ways in which the kinds of goals you have in mind can be accomplished. I'm going to move to other regional groups, but I just wondered, Bola, who was all in the meeting yesterday from, besides our GEM members from UNIFEM? Do you remember who was in the meeting from the UNIFEM side?
Yes, yes, we were yesterday. You want to, we speak about what the compromises?
No. Who was present in the meeting?
This was the director of the UNIFEM, and I don't remember the names. I'm very bad with names. But
not Gladys, wasn't that? Okay, because they're already working. Yeah, Gladys is already working with us. Okay, great. But all the other regional chiefs of other regions, okay. Great, terrific. Well, thank you very much. Unless someone has something to add, we're going to move to the next region. GEM Asia? To add, a course is being planned.
We had this meeting yesterday to discuss GEM Asia, and it has been decided that next year, around June, July, we'll have GEM Asia first meeting in Goa in India, most probably. And Yumiko will let us know more about the funding part of it. But we are quite hopeful, and it will be supported by team in India as well as outsiders. What else? That's all, basically.
The locations. Goa.
Goa in India.
Yay.
Okay.
Okay, great. And a division of labor was actually assigned to people,
yes,
with what each person is supposed to do and report back.
Yeah,
and
we'll have to
so
have
there was a lot of organizing done yesterday in terms of division of labor and who is responsible for what. So Asia is making progress. Okay, the next regional group is, I'm going to ask GEM LAC.
Well, in GEM
Yeah. Well, we actually we didn't meet these all the fellows of GEMLAC, but I think we had, for example, a little meetings with the GEMLAC instructors, and I think that the most important point for us is the next meeting in Argentina. That I think that what we have to do is to push our regions, just to involve economies, women economies of our regions to be there in Argentina, especially in the case of Central America. I think it's very important because, you know, and this is like a kind of a secret, you know, that this, I really love this wonderful woman of luck, but I think I want to be a lot of Argentinian and Mexican people there, so I think I will be wonderful, but I think that the voices of other regions of Latin America must be there. We don't have to care a lot about this technical quality thing. I think that in the regions in all Latin America, and in Argentina, and in Central America, there are a lot of wonderful women, and the problem that I think that we have to fight a little bit, that they want that economists. And in, for example, in the case of Central America, it sometimes is complicated. The thing of, it's not about the knowledge, but it's about the degree. But well, we are struggling in these things. So I think that the best compromise can be that to push and to involve women of our regions to be there and to present papers with what happened in our regions. And I think another good thing but is that Lorena and me, we are in the agriculture thematic group, and I think that that could be a good thing that to put in the thematic of GEMLAC agriculture, since Latin America is has a lot of agriculture, and most of the work in agriculture is made by women. So I think we have to push a lot also this thematic in the group. And I think that it's only and in personal case, I compromise myself with the people, with instructors of GEMLAC, to create this GEM Central America that I think that will be moderated, especially by one wonderful woman that I know from Costa Rica. She's Tika, so from Costa Rica, I think that she would be can be a good head of this GEM Central America, and to understand and to make understand the real problematics and dynamics that has the region, and maybe can be an example, I hope, for other regions, just to show the multiculturality and the diverse situations of through all Latin America. No?
Thank you. Terrific, terrific, terrific.
A little thing. With the person of Mexico, Alicia and Julia, I think we talk about reinforce the relationship between the academic. Yes, Alicia Giro. To reinforce academic relationship between macro universities like San Marcos University, UNAM from Mexico, and Argentina also. And I think this is the very good point to begin in Peru, especially to work about disseminate GEM theoretical proposal that I think is very stimulating for us.
Thank you. Any other additions from other colleagues in GEMLAC? Yeah.
I'm an activist, so I don't really have a choice. But between last week and this week, I made some connections with a network of women in the Caribbean called Development Alternatives for Women of a New Era, the Caribbean chapter. And every 2 years we have a what's called a Dawn Training Institute. And we are already organizing the training program for this year, which is supposed to be before the end of this year. Basically, we choose thematic areas. So we're basically thinking that the next, not it can't be this one because it has already been decided for 2009, but the next thematic, the next one that we have in 2011, it would be, the focus will be on gender and the economy. and we have 2 years to build towards it. The other thing that I did was that I sent an email to my director, because she's expecting me. I'm supposed to be making this grand presentation when I go home. I'm supposed to report and da-da-da-da-da. So basically she wants to ensure that other economists within the Planning Institute will apply for GEM next year. So I'm leaving it up to you that we have some applicants coming in and that you will... they will be considered among the other caliber of applicants. So that's second. I will put in, if the CVs are good enough to put in the word, I will definitely put in the word. So that's the second thing. The third thing was I also made a connection with the head of the Department of Economics at the University of the West Indies at Mono, and told him about the program here, because he's a heterodox economist, Michael Witter. Right, yes. And he pretty much said that he will make sure that once we get enough information about the program next year, he'll encourage his own postgraduate students to apply. So that's it from my corner of the universe.
And where is Norman Gervin?
Norman Gervin, he's at the University of the West Indies at St. Augustine in Trinidad. He's in Trinidad, the campus in Trinidad. He's in Trinidad. Yeah. I could probably link him as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My plan is all about capacity building right now.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Norman Gervin, Michael Witter. Is there a lot of also heterodox economists who would? Yeah. Great. 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 Okay. Great. Okay. So then Oskar just gave me a head count, and these head counts are probably not even complete ones, but we have apparently 68 members in Asia, GEM Asia, and we have how many in?
23, but maybe more than that.
In GEM Black, it appears to be 23, but I'm sure that that's an undercount. And also, GEM Black has done its knowledge sharing program, so everyone who has come to the knowledge sharing program in Mexico is also part of the mother GEM as well, so that doesn't include that. So again, there will be probably close to, I mean, there will be absolutely many more than 50 people as well, knowing the people.
In the Costa Rica one, because how it worst things in Latin America, for example, not people from Mexico didn't come to the Costa Rica because it's complicated things of regions within Mexico and Central America. But you know, the course was for 45 people, so it's plus 45 people that are GEM Central America that they are really interested and they are still talking about that.
And I've been talking about this for a long time, but we need to raise resources for this, is to make the main GEM website multilingual. And por favor, we need help. I mean, we don't have the capacity to translate all the materials and all the pages and so on, but we really, maybe we should set up a committee to work on making the, at least, parts of the website Spanish, and we really, really need help. I'm saying Spanish, but this holds true for other languages other than English. So we really need help, and some people started translating some materials into Arabic, but we really, really need your help with translation of some of the pages. We do link other websites to the mother one, but we also need, when the website is open, we need to, people need to know that this website is not only in English. So we really are asking for help with that. And we really should have set up a committee, but we still have time to do that. Okay, great, great. Okay, so next group, the group that we used to call GEM Transition, and now then we start calling, you know, Eastern Europe, Caucasus, and then we started calling it GEM Eurasia, whatever we have to find. person who would like to report on this group? Hmm? Is this because it is partly in Europe, partly in Asia? So that's what we said, but we've been just saying that, but the full name is Caucasus, Central Asia, Europe, Caucasus, Central Asia. This is the full Eastern Europe. Yes, Tamar, would you like to?
Sure. Well, we don't really have any new information because we didn't meet after the meeting, but I guess just to give a quick recap, we are with Eva Zimny. We're talking about organizing GEM Eurasia workshop next year at the Warsaw School of Economics. So currently we are in very early stages of thinking about it, making sure that there are funds available, also developing the network of or the potential pool of people that we would contact about it. And so it's really, right now we're just in the exploratory stages. We don't have anything specific to report. But I think in general, when it comes to GEM Eurasia, one of the things in the brief conversations that we did hold with each other, I think we need to focus much more on identifying the issues that are relevant to the region. And one of the, I think what's important is that there are some things which differentiate the region. For instance, again, in my case, my main interest is in the area of education, but I feel, say, when we were talking with our African colleagues, for instance, or many Latin American colleagues, there are some issues, especially when it comes to education, which differentiate the Eurasian region. The fact that, for instance, it seems, based on our country's experience, that only education, meaning literacy, and only even civic education, meaning, let's say, understanding that you can participate in the political process, is still not sufficient for gender empowerment. So then what is? So I think some of the issues that we as a region, as GEM Eurasia, would need to really think a lot about is, where do we go from here? Just because it just doesn't seem that simply education, again, here I mean both literacy and civic education, is enough. So that's all.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Tamar. Anybody else want to add anything? Greg, Hushid? No? Okay, you're good. Okay. Jim Mina, I don't think has much to report, but
Well, giving the fact, well, MENA is Middle East and North Africa, and giving the fact that I am the only one from the region. I mean in the course. So you as well? Okay, Turkey. Yeah, I mean, but like. So, well, actually, Turkey is always everywhere, so. Yeah, sometimes it's concerned, yeah, politically. Okay. Whenever. So, anyway, I don't have much to report, but in, country.
Okay, we were supposed to be joined by two colleagues from Morocco, Hind, Jalal, and also Ahmed, and they could not make it. They were going to come as instructors. They had first to join us as fellows, and they are terrific. They are wonderful. And they, unfortunately, for health reasons, they were not able to join us. So they had been sort of leading the effort to put together a program, knowledge-sharing program for North Africa and the Middle East. So we are really, you know, missing their presence here. But actually, there have been quite a few discussions, and it just so turned out that to this time in the mix of fellows we have, we usually have a lot of people who come from the Arab countries, and we also had some discussion at some point in time: should we have a separate group that is in Arabic? There is a language thing, but then what do we do with the Turks and the Iranians and other folks who don't speak Arabic? So we have had these kinds of discussions. And the other thing that came up in the context of the Middle East North Africa group was, putting together a course that is in French, which was being spearheaded again by Hind, and she offered to host a course in actually Morocco, which would be wonderful. And so we had a lot of discussions, and we even had some translation of some materials into Arabic by them. And so, you know, we'll continue with that. But that was the idea of GEM Africa, which cuts across regions, though. It wouldn't be just a, you know, this is a linguistic category of GEM. So anyway, I just wanted to give you an update on that. Anything else that people would like to? Okay, so then I would like to move to a discussion of the thematic groups, which is really, really exciting, because I think we've had many, many exciting group meetings here. And I know that a lot of groups, or hopefully all groups, have some reports to turn in, to send us. They have been that each group was supposed to have a rapporteur, and I think they did. So we are going to share these reports electronically with each other, but now we would like everybody, all the groups, to report verbally. So I'm just going to start again. You know, Tamar, if you're the rapporteur.
So I will report on the education and health group. We had five members: John, Nilanjan, Noon, Roxana, and myself. This is a very broad question, the issue of education and health and gender. So we kind of broke our discussions into, we first focused on education, then gender. So there are, I guess, several points to make. The first, I'm not sure what should be the format of reporting, but I'll just give you a list of things that we discussed. So we talked about using the importance of using appropriate delivery channels for providing information. Again, this is under the umbrella of education, because when it comes to information dissemination, from our conversations, it seems that in many countries, women tend to, let's say, not listen to radio as much as men do, as one example. So we felt that when it comes to delivering information about programs, it is very important to understand gender differences that exist in many countries. And again, one of the things that came up in our conversations is that I think Roxana was saying that in her fieldwork, she always finds that women are simply unaware of the programs that are available to them. So what is the reason? There must be some problem with delivering information about these initiatives. So this was one topic that we discussed. The other issue, which is very general and broad but important, is the need to include men in the conversations about gender roles. And again, this is issue of education, right? Because for certain policies, and in this case, Noon gave us this example of a sexual abstinence, you would call, program targeted to women, where the main objective of this project was to give women skills necessary to protect themselves. But then the adverse effect of it was increased violence and the use of prostitutes by husbands who then passed diseases to their wives. So this was just one very striking example which demonstrates often the need to focus not just on women, but on households and on household education, family education, in order to achieve intended objectives. Then the third issue was this conversation I just mentioned, the issue of education, specifically as a tool for empowering women. And that the example of many transition countries indicates that creating a literate population is not sufficient. It's certainly necessary, but not sufficient for engendering the change. So then the big question was, what is necessary? And we talked also about women empowerment in general, the fact that there are differences in the way in which women empowerment is perceived in different countries. And I think that's one of the issues we need to discuss more. Then we had two specific project ideas. Roxana, who is interested in studying the impact of providing education to transsexual new youth in the Amazon on their welfare. It's one of her projects, one of the things she's interested in exploring. The fact that this is a very isolated community, the community of transsexual youth, and I think she feels very strongly and very passionate about wanting to look at that question. Nilanjan was interested in assessing the relative effectiveness of universal adult education programs versus child education programs, just to see whether there are substantial differences in terms of the impact of adult education programs and child education programs. So these were the topics under the education. I'll be quick with the health discussion. We had two main questions. Roxana, again, she would like to pursue the issue of HIV/AIDS epidemic among this transsexual teenagers in Peru, because it seems like this is a very important issue for this particular group. But more broadly, we were interested in investigating HIV/AIDS in general among teenagers and children. And this is, of course, a very important demographic because it brings into the picture the issue of choices that parents make, because it's not just your own decision-making. It's the choices that parents make. And there are two ways in which to look at the gender dimension. The first one is to evaluate the differences between the care that boys receive as opposed to girls, okay, and whether there are any differences. And the second issue is to focus on the parents and to see whether providing education via parents will make a difference in the type of care that children receive. So whether it's the mother or the father that gets education. And this is, of course, along the lines of the literature that mother's education has a bigger impact on the outcomes for children. So I'll finish with that. It's long enough. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to report for the working group on trade. So the members are Mayela from Peru, Eka, and me, myself, Taco, Heather, Puch, and Mariama. We had our first meeting, and like everyone introduced his work, his interests, and why he wants to be in the group. Then we decide that in order to keep this group active and working, we have three immediate actions that we want to do. First of all, we want to ask GEM website to give us a space because we want to contribute in a paragraph and then in papers about our countries and the situation regarding trade and gender and all of these issues. And the third one is that we are going to keep each other posted about the new information in our region and our countries. And whenever there is a meeting or a conference that we are organizing, we will invite each other. So we will have like more opportunities to meet and discuss more like our work in the group. As I said as well, we want the like area in the website so we can then like post our papers that we will do jointly or individually about the trade and gender. As well, in the long term, we were discussing that maybe, and after like a few Skype appointments, emails and everything, we will do a joint research in different areas regarding our countries, and then this will be maybe published by GEM or like in the website or something like this. This is in the long term. Other than this, we didn't really discuss much, but this is for now, and we want the website space, please.
Okay, we have learned from the bank and other institutions to do cost recovery, so we sell this. Spaces by now. So I go going once, going twice. Yes, of course, we will make space available to any group that has wants to share information. So for that to happen again, if people could could write short one paragraph description of their thematic group and their regional group. We are going to list, we always list these groups. So we also need from the rapporteurs like a one paragraph description of your the purpose of your group and what you are hoping to do with your you know, names of the members. Then we can post this and this can be circulated. We are also in the process of I will ask Özge to say more about this, but we are planning to use Facebook and what's that? As a person who doesn't know,
I don't have one.
I think you're the only young person I know who doesn't. I get an invitation every day from there. Everybody's below the age of 30. So we are planning to use a Facebook group, and also this will be a you know, not an open group, closed group. But this way we are going to be able to communicate more easily. So we can use Facebook, Twitter, you know, all of these. Sorry. Okay, Facebook it is then. Okay, Facebook it is. So we are planning to use Facebook to make the communications between all of us easier, but people could also set up their groups. The thematic and regional groups can set up their own Facebook sites for communicating easily. So just wanted to also tell you that. I let you know that we're working on this for setting it up for the whole group. For whole group, it will be a closed group. Okay. For the Mother Gem. Yeah.
In Gem, we have email lists for every regional group and every thematic group. When you send an email, that will reach to all members of your thematic or regional group, and I will be just adding, you know, our new groups and new people to those groups. So I already got an account for Facebook. Once I have all the information, that will be built up, and then, in, you know, a notification will be sent to everybody. So I think that it is.
Okay, so.
Gul is not here.
agriculture group, but he has more people, so let's please help me with everything.
Is he the rapporteur of the agriculture group?
Yeah.
We are financial crisis and gender group, and our focus is on the recent financial crisis mainly. We are Surajit, Greg, me, Simritri, Rania, Gisela, Mariama, Naoko, Jackie, and Taitu. And we have. Correct me if there's some missing things. We put there our aim is to track down empirical evidence from different countries to first decipher the mechanisms and patterns of transmission of an adaptation after the crisis through the gender lens. So through the gender perspective, that's one of our aims. We would like to examine policy interventions, and eventually, of course, the final aim is to propose some policies to cope with the crisis, and if we can, of course. And we have some proposal ahead for our group members. We will form an e-group, as everybody does, and we assumed responsibilities for that. There are names for that. And we will share literature. We will start by sharing the literature on crisis and start readings. This doesn't have a deadline. This will start right away. We will send to each other documents from ILO with the help of Nauka. And SIVA reports, documents from the voices that were the reports that were pronounced. I mean, we will probably enrich the documents, but we pronounced yesterday voices from the South and rapid assessment reports, UNCTAD's gender and trade study are some of the proposed readings. The deadline is starting from now. Rania, Naoko, and Mariama will be sending the group some of these things. And another outcome which we expect from this group is the two pages at most country notes from members telling the snapshot story of what is going on in different countries. So we have a deadline for this, August 15th. is it okay for everybody from our group? Because some people were not with us. And these were the study plan of the group, and there were other discussion points and areas for further research during our conversations. We spoke of establishing linkage of the crisis with respect to gender through the following areas, the usual suspects we call the finance, exports, FTI, and migration. We will keep these in mind always, and we will try to determine gainers and losers. You know, it's not straightforward who is women are the victims or who is the gainers and losers. These are just the brainstorming and areas of research for us. There's not definite proposed working area, but these things are the discussion points and areas for further research. We spoke of government expenditures. What are the recent developments in government expenditures? Are there cuts or increases which would result for different outcomes for men and women? And we spoke about remittances and tourism as areas as the crisis surface. And there are a few more issues which we discussed during brainstorming. We spoke about policy responses, especially stimulus packages, if they have employment components such as unemployment benefits or not. So we will try to collect as much information as we can on those issues in our countries. And, not in the short term, but in the medium term or if we can find some evidence on those things as well, it will also be welcome. For example, we spoke about life stories of entrenched workers could be a possible source of evaluating the impact of the crisis. We can look for desegregated data from trade unions, or we can ask for cooperation of some women organizations like VIGO or SEVA for the desegregated data on gender. And so that was the more or less topics we spoke.
Great, terrific, thank you. In the back.
Well, I was secretary of the thematic group called, I retitled it, Gender Employment and Cyclical Changes, or cycle and crisis. So I think we should still work on the title. So it's nearly four as suggested earlier, and so we had a meeting, first meeting, and so the objective of this thematic group is to study the pattern of women or gendered pattern of employment and unemployment in different countries over time, and also to examine if there is any evidence of gendered wage repression. And of course, there are three hypotheses that we will also examine closely. First one is the female wage repression as a response to cyclical downturn or economic crisis of various countries. And second is to see if the men's jobs are substituted by women whose wage rates are generally lower than men by the profit maximization the scheme of the employers. And the third and the last theme hypothesis to see if there is any clear empirical evidence on this belief or even hypothesis about women being fired first and hired last. So there are about 18 participants on this project, and about 20 countries are listed as a country of interest for this project. And so we will have follow-up meetings throughout the year, and we'll share the information and data, and we will have our final draft hopefully within a year or Inshallah, yes.
Inshallah, yes. Thank you very much, Kijon. I just wanted to see how many people, okay, how many countries we have. We actually have on board for sure Argentina. Valeria is on board from Argentina. We have for sure Georgia. We have Greece. We have India. These are the ones that are for sure. Turkey. Korea, Mexico, Philippines, and we will also be doing the United States. And there are a number of other countries we don't know if they have to what degree this can be done. But we'd like to do a thorough examination of what happens to gender patterns of employment during recessions, upswings, as distinct from what happens to gender patterns of employment in secular trends, and also what happens to relative wages during recessions, crises, and gendered wages. And again, we're going to hear some of the work that has already been done by one of the members of our group, Özge Izdeş, during the conference. We will also start by sharing some materials, some background materials, and some reading, for which we could also use, very effectively our website and Facebook. And then after, sort of, we all read similar things. We're all on the same page and dig and search for our data. Then, we're gonna also write a proposal to see if we'll get, hopefully, any funding for it. Okay. Any other groups that anybody wants to report from the back row? No? Okay, I think I'm going to report on the Good Mother. Sorry? Time use? Yeah?
Okay. I think that what we did basically is we just identified some area that we should start on online course for the capacity building, because all the participants recognize the need to have the same understanding of the methodology. So the first step will be the online course, and then we identified also the need of doing research. And that's why we integrate the topic HIV and AIDS, because in Senegal, Uganda, and I forgot the other country, South Africa, the participant expressed the demand to start or deepen some research that they already start in this area by using the tools, and then after see how we can use the result for advocacy activities. Basically, it's the two things that I noticed. And then Bola, I think, was telling that in the capacity building, is it Africa or time use? To be the capacity building workshop, probably to be hosted by UN UNIDEP in Senegal. But basically, the two important things that that come out after this meeting was around capacity building, and then the research in these countries that I talked about. I think they can add, because I don't have the report.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, I also participate in the time use group, and the contribution from my side was that in Uzbekistan we have never conducted time use surveys. So, and another problem was that we don't have the regular household budget surveys, which can, or and the living standards survey, which can give the sufficient information on the living standards of the population. So we discussed with Kijong first about the possibility of using the time use survey somehow to get information about the living standards of the population. So recently, government of Uzbekistan established the Institute for Social Research, which is mandated to conduct surveys on living standards. So what I decided, and all the group members supported, was that I will be, after this online course, learning the sharing information on the methodology of time use surveys and their areas of use, I will be contacting this institute and conveying the methodologies and everything, so that we could use this survey to get some information about the living standards, because as I said, this information is very strictly kept confidential. So that was my participation in this.
Agriculture group?
Given what we were discussing in our time use group, I'm putting together just a brief write-up for potentially proposing to the IDRC while we're at the UN on Monday and Tuesday. And so what I'll do is I'll post that to the website and email all of the people that were involved in this conversation and also the people that missed this conversation that expressed an earlier interest in time use because they were in New York that day. So I would love to get feedback on that document, and then I can make changes on the bus ride down. But I'm excited about this project, so hopefully we can move it forward.
After the agricultural group, maybe I will say this something. I will say a few words about folks. There are some folks who are planning to make proposals to various organizations about funding. Some are, you know, using the thematic groups for knowledge sharing purposes. I would just like to suggest the following. It is really quite important for folks who are sending in proposals to various organizations to actually share their proposals with the Mother Gem and make sure that because these are after all outcomes of Gem knowledge networking, we want to make sure that these institutions really realize that, because it's important that this is an important outcome of a course. And this is why we say we are not really training people. We are knowledge sharing and knowledge networking. So it's important for everyone to see us also in those terms and what the actual outcomes are. So it's very important for people to share those documents, and in some sense some of us who are the sort of the old time gemistas should really be working with you when you are writing your proposals. It's also important to coordinate the submission proposal process of those proposals. I have a lot of experience with this, so coordination is very, very important. Both from the point of view of the regional groups and also from the point of view of the thematic groups. Sometimes it is better to submit things, bundling them together. Sometimes it is better to submit them separately, but sometimes also it is better to present them, to submit them, bundling them together. So this is the reason why I'm saying that it's very important for all the groups to make sure that those of us, I'm calling them the old timers, to see and to work with you also. We have a lot of experience in presenting these things, how to present these things. So in some sense, we will be the sort of the ex-officio members of your groups. Agriculture group. For agriculture.
So we're the group on agriculture and food sovereignty, and it includes so far Ghoul, Gisela, Lorena, Heather, Surjit, myself, Chinois, Bola, and probably others from other years. Our overall aim is to try to influence policy, to influence international discussions, etc. So we created an action plan. And the first thing that we're going to do is create an archive of shared literature and working papers, and this is something that we're all going to be participating in. Secondly, Surjit offered to, and I'm not sure I'm describing this correctly, but to create a partial correlation matrix showing forward and backward agricultural linkages for India. And then our other significant project, our main project, is to do a survey of rural women farmers in Guatemala and Ecuador. And this would be coordinated by Gisela and Lorena. And the goal would be to find out rural women's perspectives on the effects of climate change and on the food crisis on their food provisioning. Also to discover new indicators of food insecurity resulting from the food crisis, to map the impacts of the food crisis, and understand how peasant households are coping, and particularly how women are coping. Let's see. So as an outcome from this, we hope to analyze what we find from the surveys to create short policy briefs to be circulated among policymakers, and also to publish our results in journals and present them at international conferences. And if the survey model is successful in those countries, we want to expand it to other geographical locations, other regions. Finally, we want to create a presence for gender and agriculture at international conferences related to gender and economics, such as IAFI, as well as development economics and agriculture. So we're going to look for other venues where gender and agriculture should be promoted, and propose panels in order to present our research.
Other additions?
Yes, I think we already have a name that is Gem Ag, so we have to say, no? So we are Gem Ag. Well, in Catalan, Ag.
Ag is a bad word in Turkish. Not a bad word, but it represents
pain, like Ag. Yeah. Ah, so Gem Ag. Gem Ag.
Brother, which is a
oh.
Ah.
But
we need a sister one.
Yeah.
Is
how is the sister? How is sister?
Sister is Ocht.
Jem Ocht.
So you were going to ask?
No, was this Jim?
All right, and I think the last group to report on, and then we're gonna hear from each and every one of you. That's the other exciting point, is to report on this group that is called the Good Mother Group, Good Mother Thesis Group, and people have kind of heard a lot about it. So do I have to? Should I? Several times. Okay, this group met. It has a number of. You want me to go? No, okay, this group met, group has a number of members. The first step will be to build an analytical model to show the implications of the Good Mother Thesis in not only for long-term growth, but to make arguments in favor of gender-wise and class-wise equitable distributions of income. So looking at the demand side, we have a number of members again, and after the analytical model is built, we would like to actually do some empirical work on it. So that's what this group is doing, and a lot of people are in this group. So in the interest of time, I'm going to cut the report short and move on to sort of future plans of, yeah. Okay, shall we take a very short 5-minute break? Very short. Short is the operative word, and then we're going to come back and share our thoughts and feelings individually about how we are going to incorporate this in our work. But given that there are rather detailed reports that we gave on the thematic and regional groups, you know, part of it would be saying I am in group X, Y, Z, and I'm working with them and so on. But then there are lots of other things that to share. Yes, Paula.
Yeah, there's one more group, right? Yeah. It should not be.
There's
not
another
gender and governance group, yes? Gender conflict and governance group. Okay. 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 Mm-hmm. Sure. Great. Terrific. Terrific. Thank you. That's really, really great. So I'm just going to suggest that we make a very short is the operative word, 5-minute break. Everybody, if you need to go take coffee or whatever, please do that. Stretch your legs, and then we're going to come back and share our future thoughts about how we'll incorporate what we have been doing, the knowledge that we have been sharing with each other in our future work. This is for now from an individual. Everybody's going to talk individually. Okay, 5 minutes. And in the meantime, Taco is going to start singing. What's that? Is it 5 African minutes or 5 United States minutes? Of course. I mean, how many Africans do you see around, and how many people from the United States do you see? So it's got to be an African minute. It's 5 African minutes, everybody.